Right, Geraldine James. Yes, good morning to you. Good morning, Ms. James. I'm Member Gillian, and I'm the co-chairperson of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Dikang Stok, member of the Portfolio Committee, as well as the subcommittee. Thank you.
Good morning, Ms. James. My name is Bridget Masango. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development and a member of the subcommittee. Welcome.
Good morning to you, ma'am. I'm Letitia Aris. I'm a member of this portfolio.
Good morning, Ms. James. I'm Dalmaine Christians. I'm also a member of the Select Committee on Social Development as well as the subcommittee.
Good morning. My name is Audra Malika. I'm a member of the subcommittee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. The technical capables. Now we should, Ms. James, between me and you we've got 3 minutes. We've got only 3 minutes, our interaction. But I'll make sure that you get 2 minutes of it, 2 minutes plus. My apologies. I beg your pardon. If you can tell us about yourself and why you are interested in committing your time and energy to the service of the CDA, and if you get appointed, what do you promise to contribute? Yes, press you. You can shoot.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Geraldine James. I'm an anti-drug activist. I always introduce myself as a mum in recovery, recovering from being addicted to my son's addiction. I'm the mum who authored the letter to our then former president, Jacob Zuma, in 2013 when I found myself battling with substance abuse. I found myself knocking on many doors, the doors of the justice system, the doors of social development. People came up with all sorts of things. He was only 13 then. He's 24. For now, I'm pleased to say, because of my activism, he's a recovered child. I continue to serve in my community and in Gauteng. I am passionate about this because I believe that if I serve, that means he stays cleaner for longer. I've realized the many loopholes and the gaps within the system. People say to me, just give him a good hiding and have him arrested, and that will bring about change. I beat him up. I had him arrested several times. I've stood with a knife against his throat. I called the cops in, paid them 500 rand to beat him, and I thought that that would bring about the change until I realized that I needed to let go and I needed to take care of myself and my family, and I needed to project wellness in my home. I was acting crazy. My son was acting crazy, and there was too much. I was addicted and he was addicted, and it was time that I pulled myself towards myself and realized that in order for me to bring change in my home and in my community, you can do it without a title. I'm very passionate about mobilizing communities and for mothers like myself to realize their power in getting their children back on track. Like I'm saying, 3 years ago, he completed his matric. I go all over encouraging mums to get up. I encourage mums not to neglect their families. I understand that, you know what, going to social workers and saying you are late, ma'am, they don't understand that you had to look for this child early morning hours to bring him to your offices. I now know that you don't just send someone off to a rehab. I now know that you actually speak to the person. There's no blanket approach in dealing with addiction in our country. I honestly wish that there will be more political will, that there will be more drive from the various departments. You go to one department and they say to you that this is social development problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. James. The Central Drug Authority was established by an Act of Parliament. Which Act is that, and what does the Act seek to achieve?
That is the Substance Abuse Act, and I'm very confused and nervous, and I think that is Act 70 of 2008. I have gone through the Act. I have gone through the National Drug Master Plan over the years just to equip myself with some knowledge. I'm saying the Central Drug Authority is established according to the National Drug Master Plan and the Substance Abuse Act for treatment and prevention of substance abuse, 70 of 2008.
I have. Okay. I just want the last part of the answer that speaks to what you think the Act seeks to achieve.
The Act basically seeks to achieve and to mobilize different departments and for us to strive towards a drug-free South Africa. For the various departments to realize and understand the roles of responsibilities, the various options to treatment, prevention, harm, demand, and supply reduction.
In your assessment, do you think that the CDA performs this mandate effectively or efficiently? If yes, how so, and if not, what are the shortcomings? And in your response, if you can highlight both with regards to its mandate as well as as in ensuring compliance, accountability, and monitoring development and implementation of the Department Drugs Master Plan by national departments and provincial drug master plans by provincial forums. How are you proposing to address these shortcomings? Thanks.
Thank you so much. All right. In my personal experience, in terms of the shortcomings of the CDA, I think there's not enough awareness that this committee exists in terms of as well what its mandate is. I also think that there's a perfectly a written document, you know, which is the National Drug Master Plan that is not being implemented properly. I think that various government departments don't have a mini drug master plan that they are rolling out, and I think that also speaks to the fact that it's not part of their KPIs and it's also a mandate that is not being funded at the moment. In terms of monitoring and evaluation, that is also another shortfall because we are coming up with all these beautiful plans, but we are not sure of the actual numbers, the actual statistics out there because the departments aren't providing feedback to the CDA. So I'm not sure if there's a current system in place that we can capture all the data. I think me coming on board, the number one thing that I would work on is basically a system where we can accumulate data, evidence-based research we can also do with the various departments and in the different communities. I think it's important to also stay connected to your local drug action committee who is the closest to the communities, and right now we're not even able to tell how many local drug action communities there are, the local drug action committee, sorry, there is in various communities. There's no monitoring. Every time the administration changes within local government, you know, some of the MMCs will come up with a different strategy. Yet the Act is clear that one needs to establish local drug action committees. Also, even the provincial drug committees as well, there's no synergy between what is expected from the top and it's not being filtered down. There's no integrated approach. So number one, I think we need to address the approach and also find a way of monitoring and evaluating the different local drug action committees, and also having a tighter connection with your rehabs in terms of the numbers and what is the the substance users, you know, how many is being admitted. I also think that partnerships with schools is also very, very important, a partnership with the Department of Education, because that's where it starts.
Thank you. The National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 represents a multi-sectoral approach to create a South Africa free from harm associated with drug use, misuse and abuse. The plan observes national and international policies, plans and conventions to ensure respect and dignity of all people. Now, my question to you is, if you are appointed as a board member, you will be expected to implement the authority's mandate. Just share with us your understanding of the objectives of the National Drug Master Plan 2019-2024 and how you think the CDA should achieve them.
One of the objectives, I think, speaks to active citizenship, for us to mobilize society and to educate and empower society on the role they play towards eradicating substance abuse. It also speaks to the integrated approach, yes, between the various departments. It also speaks to supply reduction. There's quite a few. I've gone blank now. So it's active citizenry, it's supply reduction, it's coming up with ways to prevent harm reduction strategies as well, to implement, for us to monitor. It is also to have the relevant resources on board, such as your social workers, in terms of also assisting and journeying with the substance abusers as well. From the time they go into rehab, making sure that there's aftercare, ensuring that there's reintegration.
Yes, true. Prior to the review of the National Drug Master Plan in 2013-2017, a need conduct to evaluate was prioritized to assess how it was implemented. Subsequently, the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, commissioned by the implementation evaluation of the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2017 as part of the National Evaluation System in partnership with the DSE. The evaluation took place between August 2015 and January 2016. I want to find out from you, what were the key findings and recommendations on the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2017 implementation and evaluation?
Remember correctly, was monitoring and evaluation that lacked. Also, the department and the roles and responsibilities of the various departments drafting the mini drug master plan. So that also wasn't there. The implementation, basically, of the entire drug master plan, and this is why we are reinforcing it in the current master plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to find out, what is your understanding of good governance,
And then if it happens that you are appointed, ma'am, into the CDA board, how are you going to ensure that good governance is being practiced in the board? Thanks.
My understanding of good governance speaks to being ethical, having morals, being transparent, making sure that there is everything is above board, and making sure that everything is tied up to our policies and we do things according to the book and the constitution. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you were a very fast speaker. We must keep up. Okay, so my question is, what are the key issues affecting young people, their families as well as communities, regarding substance abuse, and how would you advise government to deal with these issues?
Thank you so much for your question, ma'am. Where I come from, I think it's subcultural belief system. Young people are just trying to fit in all over. I think unemployment plays a huge role as well. Peer pressure, they don't know who they are. They're just falling for anything. I think we need to have more resources available for young people. I think we need to understand young people better, and instead of us enforcing programs down young people, we need to allow them to drive and to steer. I think what's important to us is maybe not important to them. Young people of today like music, they like dancing, and sometimes we're still coming with welding skills in communities where we assume that that's what they like. I think we need to open up conversations and dialogues. I don't think anyone wants to be a drug addict. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. In your opinion, what is the state of public rehabilitation center in the country? Are there any challenges with regard to access to public rehabilitation centers in South Africa? If yes, what are those challenges, and how would you advise the country to address those challenges?
Thank you so much, ma'am. The challenges that I think we find having with the state challenges is lack of passion, lack of understanding. People still don't think, realize that addiction is a disease. It's the only disease that you get locked up for having. The assessment process, they don't know how to assess the people in those places, that there's use, misuse, abuse, and dependency. I think everybody does things when it comes to addiction. This is how we were told to do things. This is what you have to do, instead of, you know, allowing it to be a very personal journey. I also think that lack of funding for these places as well, lack of funding, lack of understanding. I think what we would do is obviously, again, do enough training. I find that we have a lot of social workers that's fresh out of college, and they go into hard hit areas like El Dorado Park, like Westbury and Soweto, and they're not sure quite how to deal with it. I also think that we need to focus on the hardcore drugs, the drugs that actually destroy and cause chaos in your communities, like your TIC. We need to categorize the drugs as well, so that SAPS and your law enforcement agencies can focus on those drugs, the drugs that cause crime, stealing, killing, such as like your TIC.
Thank you. One of the challenges facing the country is the lack of a comprehensive national statistics on the prevalence of substance and drug abuse. How can the CDA play a role in this regard?
Thank you for your question, ma'am. I thought about that earlier and that again speaks to a database that needs to be rolled out, that needs to be rolled out by all departments, where it needs to have, your rehabilitation centers needs to have access
to this database. Your schools also need to have access to this database. So whenever there's a learner that tests positive for substance, it needs to be recorded on the database. Currently, there's a lot of shame around addiction, so no school wants to be known as having 100 learners addicted to drugs, and we'll never have the proper stats if we don't create that type of awareness and we don't encourage society and mums and families to step forward. So we need to lift the shame, have a lot of awareness campaigns in terms of lifting the shame so that people are free to step forward so that we can record those numbers and that, so that it enables us to make informed decisions. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. James, what an honor to meet you. We've read about you and heard about you that time with the issues of El Dorado Park. My question to you are very simple. Recently, there has been much debate around the decriminalization of the use of cannabis or marijuana in South Africa by the courts. What is your opinion of the court judgment regarding the discrimination of marijuana for personal use?
Thank you for your question, ma'am. If we must start locking everyone up for smoking weed, we won't find employment for our young people. We need to look at restorative justice options instead of throwing everyone in jail. So I welcome their decision. At first, I was totally anti it, but now that I have a better understanding of substance abuse and how it sort of would play a negative role in the reintegration of someone who has gone to jail, they'll just continue using, they'll just continue self-destructing if not given a second opportunity. So we need to come up with restorative justice measures, you know, community service, and for people to understand, you know, and also not to infringe on people's human rights, because there are people who believe and there are people that can actually smoke it without it affecting the next person. I think it becomes an issue when your habit starts impacting the next person and society.
My final question to you, Ms. James. During the COVID-19 pandemic in our country, lockdown regulations were introduced, which led to the ban of alcohol and tobacco sales in the country. How would you advise the country to deal with the sale of alcohol in particular, during any epidemic in the future?
I think it was a good decision to do that, because it gave us time as a country to reflect on actually seeing the outcomes and the abuse that many women had to endure during lockdown. But I think we can't just remove alcohol without giving people coping tools and mechanisms. One of the things that we should have done is actually equip people with the tools and mechanisms on how to deal with the withdrawal symptoms and what other offerings and offer them that. Thank you. I have my understanding and basically what I read. I just like to have a clear understanding of this position, what it would entail. I know the book, and on paper it says something. I want to know in terms of availability, also what is expected. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay.
Anything traumatically new from the one that made you to apply? Okay. Thank you very much.